Today I have kind of an old school mnemonic sermon for you. Three letters, easy to remember. PPP. Probably heard those letters before, but for my purposes this morning, those letters do not refer to the Payroll Protection Plan. Though I pray that those organizations and individuals who might be served by this plan have been able to find access and aid there. My three P's are prayer, presence, and practice. Let's start with prayer. Prayer features prominently in our readings today. In the reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Jesus' friends are self-isolating. Sound familiar? Jesus is about to ascend, a moment in time that we celebrated in the church on Thursday. And in this passage, he has instructed his friends to stay put, to wait for the coming of the Spirit. And how do these friends, this quarantine bubble of disciples, how do they occupy their time as they shelter in place? They pray. The Bible says the apostles and a few female interlopers were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. I hope that we have been doing the same. And then we have the gospel reading. Same moment, just before Jesus' ascension. What is the last thing Jesus does before ascending into heaven? Before returning to the Father, before leaving the apostles' presence. He prays for them. He prays for us. Of all the things Jesus could have done in those last moments of his earthly existence, he chooses prayer. I remember not long ago, I think it was after yet another incident of gun violence in our country, that there was a big social media hullabaloo around people offering thoughts and prayers. It became almost a meme, hashtag thoughts and prayers. Many argued that prayer had become an excuse for inaction, a throwaway line that meant nothing. But we cannot let prayer mean nothing. We must be careful that when we say we'll pray, we do. Because prayer is not nothing. It is everything. And it is something we can offer regardless of social distancing or empty pews or physical presence. Scientists have recently been exploring what happens in the mind of those who pray. They've even given the field a name, neurotheology. And they found that the brains of those who spend long hours in prayer or meditation are different. In an All Things Considered program I listened to about these new findings, one neurologist said something that really struck me. I think it was the simple, straightforward way that he said it that it revealed the obvious and powerful truth of it. What he said was this: the more you focus on something, whether that's math or auto racing or football or God, the more that becomes your reality. The more it becomes written into the neural connections of your brain. Quarantine has invited me to think about what I'm focused on. What am I reading, watching, listening to, doing? What is getting enough of my focus that it could write itself into my brain? And do I like what it might write? Here's an example from my house. I recently watched the Netflix 4-episode series called Unorthodox. It tells the story of a young woman fleeing an arranged marriage in a Hasidic community in Brooklyn. I had heard a podcast, an interview with the woman, Deborah Feldman, upon whose story the series was based, and I was wondering before watching just how they could tell that story. How could they tell it without condemning an entire faith tradition? Well, they told the story beautifully. There was humanity on both sides of the story. My soul and my neural pathways were safe. Indeed, they were strengthened. Then, though, in keeping with my appreciation and like for stories with a faith context, I foolishly watched a series called The Righteous Gemstone, which is a purported comedy about a fictional Texas televangelist and his family. Well, this show was absolutely corrosive, morally bankrupt, if occasionally funny. Why did I watch that, I wondered afterwards. What kind of pathways is that digging? If we want our brain pathways to lead us to faith, hope, charity, love, that greatest of gifts, that's where we need to keep our focus. And that takes me to practice. Many of you know that memorization is one of my favorite spiritual disciplines. I think, honestly, it's because my greatest fear is the diminishment of my mind in my family system. So this discipline helps my soul, and I think perhaps keeps my head. Or at least I hope it does. Well, I started with poetry. Pam Vosler got me on that. She went with long poems. I stuck with short ones. Like this one from Mary Oliver called, serendipitously, Praying. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but a doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. During Lent, I went with Psalms. Boy, the Psalms are amazing. If you are feeling something, anything, rage, loneliness, sadness, joy, triumph, curiosity, there's a Psalm that expresses it, that helps you explore it. It took me all of February to secure Psalm 139, and now it's May, and I'm sure I don't quite have it. Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all of my ways. There's not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it all together. That's an amazing thought. A bit terrifying, but an amazing thought. During these COVID days, I return to a favorite prayer, one by Phillips Brooks, the great American churchman. As the world locked down, I locked in, and this prayer has seen me through. O God, give me strength to live another day. Let me not turn coward before its difficulties or prove recreant to its duties. Let me not lose faith in other people. Keep me sweet and sound of heart, in spite of ingratitude, treachery, or meanness. Preserve me from minding little stings or giving them. Help me to keep my heart clean and to live so honestly and fearlessly that no outward failure can take away the joy of conscious integrity. Open wide the eyes of my soul that I may see good in all things. Grant me this day some new vision of thy truth. Inspire in me a spirit of joy and gladness, and make me the cup of strength to suffering souls. In the name of our strong deliverer and only Lord, Jesus Christ. Prayer, presence, practice. The well-known Jewish biblical scholar Abraham Joshua Heschel, writing in 1945, but with a prophetic prescience about where we find, said that prayer is a quarantine for the soul. As we live out what I hope are our final days of quarantine, I pray that you find them days of prayer, practice, and presence. Stay put and await the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who will guide you into all truth. And to conclude, I'd like to read a prayer, this one way too long for my head to memorize, a prayer for Memorial Day. It was written by a friend and parishioner at St. Matthew's Bedford, Chuck Windsor, a wonderful man of prayer and a one-time civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army. Please pray with me. Lord, walk with us. As is our custom when we gather to pray for those who serve and have served our nation, our nation's comrades in arms, we ask your blessing, Lord, on our past. Come and walk with us among our past, Lord. Walk with us on the Lexington Common, at Cowpens and Valley Forge and Trenton, on the promontory where the Hudson River bends, along the parapets at Fort McHenry, on the shore at Lake Okeechobee, at Chippewa and Lundy's Lane. Walk with us at Chapultepec and in the cornfields at Antietam, along the ghostly perimeter of Fort Shaw in the Department of the Dakota. Walk with us on San Juan Heights and Kettle Hill. Take the tips of our fingers and gently press them against a million names of the fallen etched on headstones in places now infrequently recalled: Brookwood, the Somme, Esmarne, Meuse, Argonne, Saint-Michel, Brittany, Normandy, Ardennes, Lorraine, Utah, Draguignan, Manila. Walk the decks of the Arizona and the corridors of the Malinta Tunnel. Walk the route of the Bataan Death March and the beach at Wake. Walk at Anzio, Normandy and Bastogne, at Tarawa and Iwo Jima and the Coral Sea. Walk with us at the Chosen Reservoir and Incheon. Walk with us at Da Nang, Hue, Chulai, and the Idrong Valley, Pleiku, Anke, Khe San, and the Iron Triangle. Walk at Checkpoint Charlie in Panama, Haiti, Somalia, Kuwait, Bosnia. Walk among our 124 national cemeteries in towns like Eagle Point, Oregon, Keokuk, Iowa, Natchez, Mississippi, and Togus, Maine. Walk with us at the tombs of the unknown in Arlington, where the stillness of the night is broken by measured footfalls, the rhythmic click of heels of immaculately polished shoes, and the crack of white-gloved hands on rifle stocks in a perpetual reverence. Walk with us at our memorials: Korean, the Medal of Honor, Vietnam, Women's, World War II, Marine Corps, and thousands more throughout our land. Walk among our past, we pray, dear Lord, and also walk among our present. Walk with our 25 million veterans. Walk with those who remain unaccounted for. Walk the wards of our veterans' hospitals where battle wounds of long ago are still endured. And walk at Walter Reed, Bethesda, and Brooke, where recent wounds are commencing to heal. Walk on the tarmac at Dover with our fallen as they come home to us. Walk with those who survive them. And walk closely, we pray, with our commander-in-chief, and all our armed forces up on the line in harm's way in Iraq and Afghanistan, until duty is well performed and they return to us. Walk with our military spouses and their families who support our forces. Walk with our military recruiters and their families who sustain our forces. And walk with our service chiefs who lead our forces. And in the cold darkness before the sun rises tomorrow, Lord, walk with our drill sergeants and their charges, our precious young men and women who have now come from across the land and volunteered to wear the cloth of the nation and pledge themselves to support and defend our Constitution. Finally, until we gather once again, walk with us and those we love as the beating of our hearts echo the beating of the drums of freedom. Amen.